Blessed is the kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and unto ages of ages.
Welcome to Our Life in Christ, a radio teaching ministry of the Orthodox Christian Church. Our program brings you the Christian faith as taught by the early fathers of the Church, and which has been preserved and practiced within the spiritual life of the Orthodox Christian churches around the world. The Orthodox Christian Church is evangelical but not Protestant. It is Orthodox but not Jewish. It is not non-denominational, it is pre-denominational. It is believed, preserved, defended, taught, and died for the faith of the apostles for 2,000 years. It is our prayer that you will be encouraged and challenged as we discuss the Orthodox Christian Church's ancient teachings about our life in Christ. O Lord and Master of my life, take from me the spirit of sloth, faint-heartedness, lust of power, and idle talk. Give rather the spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love to thy servant. Yea, O Lord and King, grant me to see my own sins, and not to judge my brother, for thou art blessed unto the ages of ages. Amen. And good evening, and welcome to this edition of Our Life in Christ. And I'm your host tonight, as usual, Steve Robinson, in the basement catacomb studio, as usual, with Bill Gould. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of in the basement of my spirit right now.
Oh, I know. We're just sitting here before the program going over the show notes for tonight, and we're both just so beaten just reading the quotes.
Oh, it's so true. It's
Lord
easy.
Have mercy.
It would be easy to wallow in in what we talked about last week, which was this idea of faint-heartedness and self-pity.
Yeah.
But we're not going to do that tonight. We're going to get ourselves together here, and as
we're
hard
gonna,
as this is going to be,
we're going to move forward here, and let it be known to our listeners that when we are just quoting the fathers, and they are speaking to us as well as to you.
That's right.
You know, we are not presuming to have mastered any of these spiritual disciplines or gotten rid of any of these passions in our own lives.
That's for sure.
So, Bill, well, this has been an interesting last week for me and my family. And, we moved my father-in-law into a nursing facility.
Yes.
And that was quite a decision. And I don't think we've ever done this, but our families can really use your prayers if you're listening to this program. I don't know if any of you have ever been in that situation, but that's one difficult thing to do.
There's a lot of relief, but at the same time, a lot of sorrow and perhaps even a little guilt.
Than a little guilt. So, but you know, this is one of those things that, again, these sayings really speak to us, because this is really about the fallen world.
Right.
And this is really about the consequences of living in a world that doesn't work like it should because we've sinned in it.
Yeah, and, right. Even though it's the first day of spring today, it's a fallen spring nonetheless.
Yeah. So these are the things that I think in our lives, when we confront these kinds of realities, when we confront the world in a very personal and a very real way, it really gives us a picture of just how far the human race has really moved away from God. And the consequences of the fall and the consequences of sin are just so, so horrendous.
Yeah.
And it just forces us into these situations that, you know, Lord have mercy, if I can refrain for one moment to keep from contributing any more to the fallenness of this universe. Those are the things that we have to really, really think about.
Yeah, so help me God, right?
Yeah. So the prayer of St. Ephrem is really, it really is an incredible prayer, because we're asking God to take from us these things that contribute to this fallenness, these things in our lives that contribute to this fractured, corrupted, dysfunctional world that we live in. And if we can refrain from those things and become just a little virtuous,
Well, that's the other side of it, too, isn't it? I mean, not only do we have to ask him to take things away from us, but we also have to ask him to add it to us by his grace, too, because we don't have it in us.
Right. Yeah. So, and that's going to be next week's show, probably.
Or at least we don't have a lot.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
So, Bill, we're not going to recap last week's show, because if our listeners want to listen to the first couple of vices, they can just click onto the podcast and go with that. So I think we need to just jump right into tonight's program and talk about where we left off. So we'd like to continue with the prayer and just jump right in, and that is, take from us the lust of power.
Right, take from us the lust of power. And again, we add that to this idea of spiritual laziness, this idea of inactivity, not being a spiritual couch potato.
Yeah.
I mean, it follows right along that you want to have it your way.
Yeah.
And the lust of power is essentially our wanting to exalt ourselves, put ourselves in a position where we actually can be like God, almost in the way that Satan tempted Eve in the garden in the beginning.
Well, it's the desire to control things. And actually, this lust of power and this slothfulness really do go hand in hand, because lust of power is like the universal remote control that you can just sit back in your chair and just manipulate and coerce and control the entire universe. But not just control the universe, but it really comes back to control the universe for your benefit.
Well, that's exactly right. And what part of our culture does not, in this day, suffer from that kind of a characteristic or that kind of attitude?
Yeah.
I mean, just think of it, just everything.
Well, if you listen to commercials, I listen to talk radio, I don't watch hardly any television, but the recurrent theme in radio commercials, in media, in the philosophy that sells right now is, you deserve it.
Yes.
You know, it's all about you.
Yeah. Live your dream.
Yeah. And this is what's being sold to us, is that you are the center of the universe, that everything revolves around you. Everything that exists is for your benefit. Everything that happens should be for the benefit of your peace, your happiness, your contentment, your comfort, and you deserve it.
Yeah.
And that's really,
you work hard, you deserve it.
Yeah.
You deserve it even if you don't work hard. today.
Well, and this is exactly opposite of the created order of things, and that is that we are to serve God, that creation is not there to fulfill our passions, our lusts, our desires, but we are to offer creation back to God, and God is to offer it back to us. And so the universe is not about this depraved, self-centered, narcissistic approach to life and to everything around us. It's about us serving God through creation, and it's about keeping ourselves in the proper relationship both to creation and to God, and thus to other people. So power makes the world and everything in it the servant of our passions, and everybody is to serve us. And if we can't get people to serve us, then through this lust of power is how we go about to seek to control and manipulate and coerce other people to do our bidding, to do our will.
Well, that's right. It's essentially the opposite of the very first phrase of the prayer, right? Where it says, "Oh Lord, master of my life."
Yeah.
We're taking that back.
Yeah, I'm master and commander.
Yes, right. Exactly.
And I'm taking control. And if people aren't doing things the way I think they should be doing, then I'm going to try to make it so they do, rather than leaving it in the hands of God.
Well, and so we have, in fact, compiled a list of sayings from different spiritual guides.
Yeah.
And we're just going to roll through these things.
Just roll through them, Bill.
Yeah. And we'll start with Archimandrite. Sophroni. The proud man wants to dominate, to impose his will on others. And so conflict arises between brothers.
Yeah. Well, that's just what human nature is about.
Yeah, going all the way back to Genesis and Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the story of one guy just saying, "Hey, I don't like what my brother's doing.
So I'm going to kill him.
I'm going to kill him."
Yeah. And if I can't kill him physically, I'll kill him with words. I'll kill him with thought. I'll kill him in my heart. This is ultimately the end of the lust of power in the human heart. It's death.
Yes.
Spiritual death and oftentimes physical death. St. Peter Damascus says, "These two passions of overbearingness and cowardice though they appear to be opposites, are both caused by weakness. No one who suffers from either of these two passions puts his trust in the Lord, and therefore he cannot stand firm in the battle, whether he is overbearing or cowardly. Now, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Because both of these things, being overbearing, trying to be controlling, trying to be manipulative, trying to coerce people, is a sign of a lack of trust of God.
Right.
And cowardice is a sign of a lack of trust in God.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and cowardice is like the flight or fight. And both of these responses are...
Well, it's the fear of losing one's life, yeah. Essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
Rather than trusting in God to control the circumstances, to do what is best for you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he says something else here. He says, I would rather have a defeat with humility than a victory with pride.
Yeah. Wow. Now, that's hard. Now, we're going to talk a lot more about that, Bill, because what this is talking about is in relationships, when we find ourselves humiliated, when we find ourselves defeated, when we find ourselves in the one down, and we can't control, and things get out of control, and we're on the short end of the stick, how do we respond to that?
Right.
You know, this is really where the rubber meets the road.
Well, that's right. It does remind me of what we talked about last week. The one story about St. John the Dwarf, I believe it was, mm-hmm. where he felt that he was at ease spiritually.
Right, yeah.
And the spiritual guide for him said, pray that God would restore the adversities in your life,
yeah.
because this is how you grow.
Yeah, this is how you become humble.
Yeah, so if you're dominating everyone and making sure everybody goes, and it almost feels like, oh yeah, things are going smoothly, things are going well.
Yeah, I got my fingers on all the pies, right, all the pies.
Right. I'm going to make sure I succeed.
Yeah, everything's going my way.
Yeah, and that's a time when you need to step back and say, wow, this is just the opposite of what God is trying to teach me.
Yeah, well, an Athenite elder says, the more spiritual a person is, the fewer rights he wants in this life.
Yeah.
And I think that really cuts down to so much of what our relationships are about. Because, again, you watch TV, you watch the commercials, everybody has their rights. The litigious society that we live in is all about us getting our rights.
Oh, yeah. The class action lawsuits, everything that's going on where everybody feels like they've been... Yeah. You know, cheated or somehow
lied to. Exactly.
You know, they want revenge.
Yeah, everybody wants revenge. And this is a sign of spiritual weakness. And this is a sign of a lack of humility. This is a sign of the lust of power.
Now, St. John of Kronstadt adds to that and says, keep a strict watch against every appearance of pride. It appears imperceptibly, particularly in time of vexation and irritability against others for quite unimportant causes.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we were talking about, unimportant causes. I deal with a lot of people. You know, I have a construction company, and over the years I have dealt with literally thousands and thousands of clients, and it amazes me. The small things that people get so incredibly worked up over, the vexation that people experience over just minutia.
Yes.
And again, it's this, you know, I have a right to expect this, and I have a right to get it. I look at people like that and I say, my gosh, how can you live in that skin?
Yeah, how can you enjoy anything?
Yeah, exactly. You know, how can you enjoy creation when you have this sense of entitlement? It's just, I don't know, it's just beyond me. Well, Bill, some of the hardest sayings that the fathers have in relation to this notion of our rights and our need to be in control of everything and in control of all relationships is the idea that we really do need, as St. John the Dwarf says, humiliation, that we really do need adversity, that we really do need these things in order to keep us humble, in order to keep us on the right path and to show us that we are not the ones who are in control of our lives, that we're not the ones who run the universe. And very often it's through these relationships that we really do keep ourselves in a godly mindset toward the world and relationships and our place in it.
Well, right, and especially in our own country. I mean, we have this thing we call the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
The whole system is built on what I think is fundamentally a good thing, and that is
right.
That we recognize that human beings deserve respect, you know, that we are created in the image of God, even though that's not stated explicitly in the legal documents that we have. But the fact is that it's not given to us as means for us to oppress others.
Right, and know? To coerce others into that kind of relationship with us.
Exactly.
And there's a great saying from St. Isaac the Syrian. He says, "A man who is truly humbled is not troubled when he is wronged, and he says nothing to justify himself against the injustice, but he accepts the slander as truth. He does not attempt to persuade men that he is being calumniated, but he begs forgiveness." Now, how is that so totally 180 degree opposite from everything that our culture tells us to do when we're slandered, when we're humiliated, when somebody falsely accuses us?
Right, exactly. I mean, that's amazing. And here's another one from St. John of Kronstadt again. Yeah. "When you are slandered and therefore grow disturbed and sick at heart, it shows that pride is in you, and that it must be wounded and driven out by outward dishonor. Therefore, do not be irritated by derision, and do not bear malice against those who hate you and slander you, but love them as your physicians." Wow. But love them as your physicians, whom God has sent to instruct you and to teach you humility, and pray to God for them.
Wow. And Abadorotheos has a very similar saying to that. He says, "Believe that dishonors and reproaches are medicines that heal the pride of your soul, and pray for those who reproach you as for true physicians of your soul, being assured that he who hates dishonor, who hates humility, and he who avoids those who grieve him, flee from meekness." Those are hard, hard words.
Yeah. Well, and again, it points up the fact that, and we've talked about this on the show before too, this idea that the kingdom of God is not what we would consider to be natural for mankind. And yet, what we're actually seeing here, and in these words that are given to us by the fathers, is the behavior of the second Adam, the behavior of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the model.
And this is the Sermon on the Mount.
Exactly.
These are the Beatitudes. "Blessed are you when men despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake."
So it appears here that, you know, that this is all supernatural behavior.
Yeah.
But what it really points to is kind of what we were talking about earlier, that the state of fallenness of man, the state of fallenness of creation, is such that we're just blind to how far we have fallen.
Yeah.
And we actually consider,
and how self-centered we really are.
And we consider it virtuous.
Yeah.
We actually consider it good when we stand up and
demand
our rights and take umbrage with those that are over us and our jobs and in political system and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And what I think is so radically different for so many people is this idea that the goal of the Christian life for the Orthodox Church and the Orthodox tradition is the removal of passions, not the excitement of passions, not the fueling of those fires within us that make us lust for power.
Yeah, it's how to live at peace in all circumstances, including the circumstance that Jesus Christ found himself in going to the cross.
Right.
How can we rest in God when everything and everybody in the world is against us and wants to kill us?
It's not the same, you know, and some people might point out, but Christ, he chased out the money changers and started beating those guys with the ropes and turning over the tables.
Yeah.
He was showing some passion there, wasn't he? Well,
but it was zeal for his father's house.
It was zeal for his father's house, but again, he did not take that attitude when it came to his own life.
Yes.
He did not take that attitude when it came to those who were coming to pierce his hands and his feet and to make him carry the cross and stick the crown of thorns on his head.
And when they were lying about him and slandering him in his trial.
And feeding him gall on the cross. I mean, you know, all of the things, all the humilities that God suffered. Again, we typically will look at that and say, well, he did all that so I don't have to.
No, he did all that so that we can know how we are supposed to
behave
in the kingdom of God.
Exactly. And this is where the world gets turned upside down.
Yeah, it is absolutely upside down. Now, Bill, we have a long quote from Bishop Nikolai Velimirovich.
Yes.
And this is exactly what we're talking about. Now, St. Nikolai, he's a modern-day saint. He was a Serbian bishop who spoke out courageously against Nazism until he was arrested and taken to Dachau. And this is a prayer that he wrote while he was in a Nazi concentration camp.
Yeah, and if we'd want to point out that the Holy Spirit is alive and well in the saints today. And you know, there are even some Protestant examples of humility.
Oh, yeah, Richard Wurmbrand.
Richard Wurmbrand comes to mind. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. If you've ever seen him speak, I don't know if he's still alive now or not. But boy, I tell you, it's a moving thing to see someone who has suffered for the faith.
Yeah.
Well, just listen to the words of Bishop Filimonovich. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, all of his writings are amazing, and they're available. He has several volumes of homilies and spiritual poetry that are just incredible. But this one is particularly pertinent to this lust of power and how we relate to those who have power over us and are our enemies and are those who would ultimately kill us. Bless my enemies, O Lord.
Bless my enemies, O Lord. Even I bless them and do not curse them. Enemies have driven me into your embrace more than friends have. Friends have bound me to earth. Enemies have loosed me from earth and have demolished all my aspirations in the world. Enemies have made me a stranger in worldly realms and an extraneous inhabitant of the world. Just as a hunted animal finds safer shelter than an unhunted animal does, so have I, persecuted by enemies, found the safest sanctuary, having ensconced myself beneath your tabernacle, where neither friends nor enemies can slay my soul. Bless my enemies, O Lord, even I bless them and do not curse them. They, rather than I, have confessed my sins before the world. They have punished me whenever I have hesitated to punish myself. They have tormented me whenever I have tried to flee torments. They have scolded me whenever I have flattered myself. They have spat upon me whenever I have filled myself with arrogance. Bless my enemies, O Lord, even I bless them and do not curse them. Whenever I have made myself wise, they have called me foolish. Whenever I have made myself mighty, they have mocked as though I were a dwarf. Whenever I have wanted to lead people, they have shoved me into the background. Whenever I have rushed to enrich myself, they have prevented me with an iron hand. Whenever I thought that I would sleep peacefully, they wakened me from sleep. Whenever I have tried to build a home for a long and tranquil life, they have demolished it and driven me out. Truly, enemies have cut me loose from the world and have stretched out my hands to the hem of your garment. Bless my enemies, O Lord, even I bless them and do not curse them. Bless them and multiply them. Multiply them and make them even more bitterly against me, so that my fleeing to you may have no return, so that all hope in men may be scattered like cobwebs, so that absolute serenity may begin to reign in my soul, so that my heart may become the grave of my two evil twins, arrogance and anger, so that I might amass all my treasure in heaven. Ah, so that I may for once be freed from self-deception, which has entangled me in the dreadful web of illusory life. Enemies have taught me how to know what hardly anyone knows, that a person has no enemies in the world except himself. One hates his enemies only when he fails to realize that they are not enemies, but cruel friends. It is truly difficult for me to say who has done me more good and who has done me more evil in the world, friends or enemies. Therefore, bless, O Lord, both my friends and enemies. A slave curses enemies, for he does not understand, but a son blesses them, for he understands. For a son knows that his enemies cannot touch his life. Therefore, he freely steps among them and prays to God for them.
You're listening to Our Life in Christ. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Our Life in Christ, a live discussion of the teachings and practices of the Orthodox Christian Church. We now have audio archives of past programs on the website. If you have any questions or comments about any of our show's topics, We'd love to hear from you. Just drop us an email at ourlifeinchrist.com, and we will be glad to send you more information or answer your questions on the air in a future program. Thanks for tuning in today.
And welcome back to this edition of Our Life in Christ. And I'm your host tonight, Steve Robinson, in the studio with Bill Gould. And Bill, before the break, we were talking about lust of power and the incredible prayer of St. Nikolai Vlamirovich in praying for his enemies in a Nazi concentration camp.
Yeah, it almost almost seems like everything after that's going to fall into the category of idle talk. Huh?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we're going to start talking about now, is idle talk. And this is another passion, another vice that we pray that God takes away from us. Now, why would we want God to take away from us idle talk? Well, James chapter 3 talks about the tongue and how it's such a small part of the body, but it controls everything. And he says, we all stumble in many ways, but if one does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body as well. Now, that's an incredible spiritual saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you can control your tongue, then you're the perfect spiritual man.
Well, that's incredible, right. Exactly. In terms of, it's like we think of it, it really being exciting when we can, you know, maybe not eat certain foods for a while or give alms or, you know, do all these spiritual things. But again, the last thing that we seem to be able to get a hold of is our own tongues, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And James goes on to say, talking about the tongue is a very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our whole life and is set on fire by hell. I mean, those are some incredibly strong words.
Yeah.
And I've read that, and it's just, I guess maybe as you get older and you see the power of words, and you see the power that what we say has over people's lives, and how you can just absolutely devastate, you can absolutely ruin a relationship, you can decimate a human being by a single word.
Well, not only can you, but
we do.
I have.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah.
We all have.
Yeah.
And again, you know, we become like those people that Paul actually warns against when he's writing to Titus and says, you know, that there are many insubordinate, idle talkers. That's Titus 1:10. And just he calls them deceivers, you know, because it's like the stuff that we say that we don't think about is just really lies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, there's no weight to it. There's no substance to it. It's just all just air.
Yeah, it's not reality, because true reality is what is spiritual. What is true reality is the Word become flesh in Jesus Christ, the love of God made manifest in word and in action. And our words take on flesh. By what we say, we can create a hell on earth for ourselves and for those around us, just by words.
Well, right, yes. Yeah. It is not for no reason that there is a connection between this idea of words and God being able to speak the pure word, to speak the whole creation into existence. You know?
Words are to be creative. Words are to manifest love. Words are to manifest unity. You know, all of the things that God does with his words. The gospel says Jesus spoke a word and people were healed. With a word he cast out demons.
Yeah.
This is what words are supposed to do. Words are supposed to heal. Words are supposed to bring us together. Words are supposed to manifest love.
Words, the word of life.
Yeah, is to bring life.
How much death do we spew each day?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, Bill, let's see what the fathers have to say about words.
Well, we'll start with St. Gregory of Sinai. Okay. Those who speak from their own thoughts before having acquired purity are seduced by the spirit of vainglory.
Well, yeah, how often do we talk out of pride and arrogance, thinking that what we have to say is so important, so meaningful?
Yeah.
Our
own program notwithstanding, right?
So powerful. Yeah. This is the exception. Well, St. John Chrysostom says, what is the use of sparing fowl and fishes? He's talking about fasting from eating meat.
Right, appropriate for Lent.
Yes. If we eat our own brothers. Well,
that's right. We bite and devour one another with our words.
I think that's something
we've heard before, hasn't it? Well, and then St. Augustine has something to add here. Do not attempt to excuse your slander by saying, that is what people are saying. I'm just telling you what I heard.
Oh, boy, how many times have you heard that?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. My friends, isn't it illegal to resell stolen merchandise? You heard something. Well, act as if you had not. This is the advice of the son of Sirach in Scripture.
That's from the apocryphal books.
That's from the apocryphal books. Let anything you hear die within you. Rest assured, it will not make you burst.
I love that.
That is a great thing.
Yeah, you won't explode if
That's
you keep
right.
it inside,
That's
even
right.
though you feel like you might. Well, St. John Chrysostom again, he says, don't tell me I would be a slanderer only if I lied. I'm committing no slander if I tell the truth about somebody. This is a grievous error. Speaking evil of others, even if the evil is true, is always a crime. But backbiting and slander are so sweet, you say. Yes, but not doing so is sweeter still. The slanderer creates deadly anxiety for himself. He is constantly besieged by suspicion and fear. He repents, but it's too late. He bites his tongue, but it's in vain. He trembles for his words spread. They cause him great danger and expose those who repeat them to enmities which could have easily been avoided. And boy, don't we know this. When you've said something about somebody and you know that it's out there and it's going around and eventually it's going to get back, that you're the one that spread that.
Well, that's right. How many times do you catch yourself saying, now don't tell someone else this, but, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's a sure sign that whatever it is you've got is
and it's going to come back around and it's going to come back around to you. Great spiritual advice from my spiritual father. He said, anything that you write in an email is going to get published and it's going to come back around on you. And that is so true, and that's exactly what St. John Chrysostom is talking about here, is that we set ourselves up for living in this paranoia and anxiety because we slander. And this is not what relationships are supposed to be about. We're supposed to be at peace in relationships. We shouldn't be living in fear. We shouldn't be living in this anxiety about being found out, discovered for our words.
Well, that's right. Yeah. I mean, we
how would you like to be found out for saying something good about somebody that was a crud?
Well, you know, we sort of look down on characters like the paparazzi who are the voyeurs of our culture.
Yeah.
But You know, when you think about it, we are the same way.
Yeah.
It may be that we, it may not be that we have cameras and microphones and lights shining down on other people, but
We have words.
We have words, and we have our interests and our and our sort of our sick preoccupation with others' hurts and their faults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, again, it's all bad.
Yeah, we want to be known to be on the inside track of other people's misery, their issues, problems. Yeah.
They've confided in me.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm so important.
Oh my goodness, and that is such a trap.
Yeah, it is,
and it's so easy to fall into.
Well, that's the lust of power thing too.
You know, exactly. It kind of all goes together.
Yeah, it really does. Well, St. Isaac of Syrian has a great saying. He says, if you do not have a pure heart, at least have a pure mouth. I love that.
Yeah. Although very hard to do, because the scripture says, out of the heart the mouth speaketh.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a tough one. But what that says is that we can, in fact, keep ourselves from saying what's on our minds.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is possible.
It is possible to shut your mouth.
Well, here's another one from Abba Poem. He said, if we remembered that it was written, by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned, we would choose to remain silent. Now that gets into something else, you know, it's this idea of just even being able to bear silence and being able to bear the idea that I don't have to have either the words of a book or the words of a television show or the words of the radio or a DVD or the internet or an email.
Yeah.
I don't need to have that stimulation 24/7, or at least those my waking hours anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because last night I heard this story. I was at the Vesper service, and this priest was talking about one of his parishioners, and the parishioner was telling him that he couldn't even spend 10 minutes in silence by himself. And the priest said to him, he said, well, you know, it's funny. You can't stand yourself to be with yourself by yourself for 10 minutes. And yet you're willing to inflict yourself on all of us for 10 hours or 12 hours a day.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Oh, that's hard.
And, you know, and I thought about that, and I said, that's absolutely true.
It is.
I can't bear to be alone with myself, because when I actually, you know, start to have that silent, when I'm actually tracking my thoughts, when I'm actually tracking what's going through my brain and I'm examining it, and I realize how bad I am. And yet I'm happy to, you know, fill everybody else's time up with myself.
Yeah. That is so amazing. Yeah. But it's true that very often, and for the most part, most of us cannot live without distractions.
Right.
We cannot live without something going on that's going to keep us from looking inwardly.
Right.
You know, we have to have noise. We have to have something in front of us. We have to have something to listen to, something to read, something to watch. And it's because our hearts aren't pure.
Right.
It's because we cannot live with ourselves. If we turned inwardly, as you say, we may not like what we find there.
Well, that's right.
And then we would have to repent.
Well, that's right. And we're not trying to get ahead of ourselves. We know that quietness and meekness, these are the virtues that we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, right.
But this is really, truly the opposite of idle talk. Idle talk is just filling the air. Idle talk is filling the room. Idle talk is filling your mind and your heart with noise.
Yeah.
Filling other people's hearts and minds with noise.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're just part of that big thing of noise that's out there.
Yeah. Well, this is a great saying from one of the Desert Fathers. It's anonymous. It says, some philosophers once visited an elder, and after he had offered a prayer, he remained silent, braiding a cord and paying no attention to them. They besought him, saying, say something to us, Father, but he held his peace. And they said to him, this is what we came for, to hear you say something and to benefit from it. And the old man said to them, you spend your money to learn how to speak. I left the world to learn how to keep silent. And they were filled with amazement on hearing this and went away edified.
Wow, that's wonderful. Yeah. And here's one from St. John Climacus to go with that. Talkativeness is the throne of vainglory on which it loves to show itself and make a display. Talkativeness is a sign of ignorance, a door to slander, a guide to jesting. Oh, boy.
Oh.
a servant of falsehood, the ruin of compunction, a creator and summoner of despondency, a precursor of sleep, the dissipation of recollection, the abolition of watchfulness, the cooling of ardor, the darkening of prayer.
Wow.
And he goes on, he who has become aware of his sins has controlled his tongue, but a talkative person has not yet come to know himself as he should.
And that's wow. exactly what you were talking about, the talkative person filling the air with meaningless, pointless, vain ramblings and rattlings because there is nothing of substance within them.
God, I'm slaying right here.
I know. Well, Bill, with that, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about this. But we're going to play a cut here, Bill, and this is going to be a little bit of a long one. This is a thrice alleluia. This is a Romanian Byzantine chant. And I'm not sure exactly what service this comes from, but in my mind, this sounds like Lent. There is a service called the Bridegroom Service in which we do a thrice alleluia after each psalm verse. When you hear this, you'll never hear anything else like this on earth. And in my mind, when I hear this, I hear both repentance, I hear contrition, and I hear judgment.
Yes.
And this is what the bridegroom service is about.
And if it's the one I'm thinking of, there's this anguish
yes.
and pain that one can feel in this voice
yeah.
about just the lament of his sin. So
yeah.
it is a powerful.
Quite a powerful piece.
Yes,
and
very much so.
I doubt that it's done anywhere in a real service here. So don't go to an Orthodox church thinking you're going to hear this at a service. But this is an incredible piece of music. And since we're featuring Lenten music during this Lenten season, I wanted to bring this to our listeners. You're listening to Our Life in Christ. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Our Life in Christ, a live discussion of the teachings and practices of the Orthodox Christian Church. If you're not an Orthodox Christian and would like to receive our gift of a free Orthodox study Bible, drop us an email at ourlifeinchrist.com. The Orthodox Study Bible has a wealth of articles and notes about the early church's teachings on many passages that are often overlooked and mysterious to many modern Christians. And as always, we thank you for listening in today.
welcome back to this edition of Our Life in Christ. And I'm your host tonight, Steve Robinson, in the studio with Bill Gould. And Bill, that is one amazing piece of music.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Is, well, I don't have words. No idle talk here.
Yeah. As we said, we're featuring Lenten music during the Lenten season, and the Lenten season has some of the most incredibly beautiful and prayerful music and hymnography of any season of the Orthodox Church year.
Well, that stuff, and that stuff is just so genuine. I mean, he is just letting his soul out in a way that I think, you know, you just don't hear that kind of thing.
I remember one of our callers when we were doing the broadcast live, and he called in and he said, you know, I love your show, but every time you guys go to a break, my 4-year-old daughter runs into the room because she loves the music. And after one of the hymns we prayed one time, he said, she looked up at me and said, Daddy, that sounds like prayer.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Oh, out of the mouth of children. Yeah. Oh, children have a heart for that.
Well, yeah. Well, so, we have a couple more sayings about talkativeness.
Yeah. Well, you know, the quote that you had from St. John Climacus before the break, Bill, St. John just has such a handle on how sins are interconnected in our lives and how one sin can just be the precursor to so many other spiritual conditions and so many other issues in our life. And if you ever have a chance to read The Ladder of Divine Ascent, that's a tough book.
It is.
It's a great Lenten discipline to read it. Because it's like there's a line in one of our prayers that says, nail my flesh to the fear of thee. And that's exactly what The Ladder of Divine Ascent does.
Yeah, it's the hammer and the nail, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there's an icon that goes with that.
Right.
And I was looking at that and I go, man, there's guys falling off the ladder, you know?
Like, the icon shows people climbing the ladder of the virtues toward heaven. And again, not a work salvation, but yes, we're making the divine ascent. And at the top, there's the priests and the bishops and all of that. And right at the very top, the demons are dragging people off of the very top rung of the ladder because they got proud.
Yes.
You know,
that's exactly
that's
right.
That's the warning.
That's excellent.
That's the warning.
And again, that battle is not ever finished until we hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Absolutely. I mean,
the battle's never over.
Yeah. Well, Bill, Lorenzo Scopoli in The Unseen Warfare says, talkativeness mostly comes from a certain vainglory. Well, yikes. Okay. Which makes us think that we know a great deal and imagine our opinion on the subject of a conversation to be the most satisfactory one of all. Oh, bury me.
Oh, no.
So we experience an irresistible urge to speak out and in a stream of words with many repetitions to impress the same opinion in the hearts of others, thus foisting ourselves upon them as unbidden teachers and sometimes even dreaming of making pupils of other men. Oh, my gosh. What can you say?
I don't know. That's rough. It's rough, but here we are just the same.
Yeah, I love it.
We ask our audience just
foisting ourselves upon them. Well, we do have a saving grace, Bill, because it's voluntary for people to download
this
stuff.
That's true. That's true.
We're not forced.
That's true.
This is a voluntary podcast, you know. We're not spamming people with this, so thank God.
Well, this is why we're reading these, because it's speaking to us, too. Well, there's one more here from St. Theophil, who is a fool for Christ. Now, what is a fool for Christ?
Well, actually, this is from the Scriptures, where St. Paul talks about being a fool for Christ. And this is actually, in a sense, a spiritual discipline that actually, through history, has been taken on by a very small handful of people. And these people are literally, well, as Paul says, a fool for Christ. Through their ministry and the way they conduct themselves, they are considered by, not just by those in the world, but by those in the church, to be idiots, to be fools.
So they sort of divest themselves of all of their worldly possessions.
Yeah.
And they would appear to most in our time to be a homeless.
To be crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah. Lazy.
Lazy.
Yeah, stupid. And this is out of humility. This is out of what we talked about before, this taking on derision, taking on slander, taking on
the obloquy of the world, basically.
Yeah, as a spiritual discipline. But with that spiritual discipline comes an incredible danger of spiritual pride. And this is why this is not encouraged. This is why it's not spoken of a great deal.
Okay, so like if you're tired of your wife and your kids and your job, you can't really just decide to check in as a fool for Christ, right?
Yeah. You don't go running around naked on the freeway in the name of Christ, you know. That's idiocy. That's not being a fool for Christ. But St. Theophil, what does he have
Well,
to
he
say?
Says, if you are praised, be silent. If you are scolded, be silent. If you incur losses, be silent. If you receive profit, be silent. If you are satiated, be silent. And if you are hungry, also be silent. And do not be afraid that there will be no fruit when all dies down. There will be. Not everything will die down. Energy will appear. And what energy? Now, what does he mean by that? That is kind of an odd thing for someone to say.
Yeah. Well, when we think of somebody who's silent, we think of somebody who's quiet. We think of somebody who's, I guess you could say, maybe depressed. You know, somebody who's given up. Somebody who's despondent. Somebody who just doesn't care, maybe is apathetic. And I think what he's really saying here is if we cast everything on God, if we can attain what Paul talks about in Philippians 4, being content in whatever state we're in, and give glory to God, and not brag about it,
right.
You know, if we have plenty, and not complain about it.
If we don't have plenty. Right.
Scriptures are so plain about the consequences of grumbling.
Yes.
You know, not being satisfied with the lot that we've been given. Having one talent instead of 10, you know, or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
If we can learn to do that, then the spiritual life that we have, the spiritual energy, the energies of God that the fathers talk about, you know, we participate in those. And it's through the purity of heart that we see God. It's through purity of heart that we really participate in the divine nature. The more we're conformed to the image of Christ, to be satisfied in whatever state we're in, to be as he was, humble in the lowest estate, to have the potential of having all and being content to serve all.
Right.
If we can do that, then we're close to God. And the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, can indwell us purely and perfectly in that state. And it's when we're filled with this lust of power, when we're filled with despondency, when we're filled with pride and arrogance and this emptiness that we, as Lorenzo says, you know, we foist upon people. we're miserable with ourselves. We spread our misery all over the world.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think that most of us can remember hearing or being in a situation where we learn of someone and what is said about them is that they don't say much. But when they do speak, it's important or it's something that actually can have a good effect. And I think maybe that's what we're seeing here is this idea that we need to learn to be quiet and content, as all the things we've been talking about, so that, in fact, when we are put in that situation to open our mouth, what comes out is blessing and not cursing.
Yeah.
Is powerful and not idle. Because that's really what idle is. Idle is just a car that is an idle.
It's going nowhere.
It's just kind of sitting there. Yeah, you know, it's not going for, it's not really going anywhere, not really doing much, not having any forward or positive effect. And so, but we don't learn that. You know, it's funny, you know, it's like, man, when you first come to Christ, no matter what tradition you come in, you know, you get that Bible, you know, and you start learning it, and you start quoting it, and you start thinking that because the apostles went out and proclaimed the Word of God, that that's what I got to do, too.
Well, that's what Lorenzo says, we're the unbidden teachers.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really difficult for us to do, is just to say, you know, I need to learn, I need to shut up, I need to be quiet.
If we only spoke out of the depth of our true spiritual life, if we only spoke out of the depth of our true, real relationship with God, if we only spoke out of the true power of the Holy Spirit that we permit to work in our lives, I think most of us would say precious little.
Yes, I agree. You know? We wouldn't have much to say.
And that's the spiritual discipline of James. That's the spiritual discipline that Christ calls us to, is to be, as Christ says, out of the heart, a man speaks. And wherever our heart is, and how pure our heart is going to determine what our words are going to be, and how our words are going to affect and influence.
Yeah, right. And you know, if the moment ever comes that you're sitting there and the thought passes your mind that you think to yourself, hey, I have a pure heart. Then you know you don't have one. It's essentially easy to tell.
Yeah, and if we evaluated every sentence that we consider letting pass our lips and ask ourselves, is this coming from a pure heart?
That's a tough one.
Yeah. Will we say it or will we not? Well,
we have a long way to go, don't we, Steve?
Yes, we absolutely do. So, Bill, next week we're going to start in on the virtues, because we've asked God to remove from us these vices. And like the parable that Christ told about the man who cleans his house but doesn't put in a whole new set of furniture and doesn't bring in any new things, he doesn't replace that old stuff with something new, his second state is worse than the first because he has not filled that. And the demons re-enter, and the demons come and they bring their friends, and the second state is worse than the first. And so we've asked God to remove these from us, and then we're going to pray for God to give us some things.
Would that it could happen in a week's time.
Oh, boy. Well, next week we're going to at least talk about it. Yeah. Well, you've been listening to Our Life in Christ. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Our Life in Christ. If you'd like more information about the Orthodox Christian Church or have questions or comments for Steve and Bill, please visit our website at ourlifeinchrist.com. Thank you for being with us today, and may the blessings of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all in the coming week.